The views expressed on the Creative City Show are not necessarily those of its sponsors or any organization that the host is affiliated with.
Good morning, Tucson, and welcome into the 1030 The Voice KVOI Studios. This is Zach Yenser, your host of the Creative City Show today. It is Friday, January 3rd, our first Friday of the new year. If you didn't catch the show yesterday, I wish everyone a safe and prosperous 2020 again. Excited to be into the new year. For me, I don't know, and we'll get our guest thoughts on this in a minute as I introduce her. But for me, the holidays are, I have two strong feelings about them at the same time. One is I love the family time. I like the downtime. I also hate the downtime, you know, because like there's some pieces of life that don't stop, but they all kind of stop about December 23rd to January 6th. It's a dead zone. But I don't know, in my line of work, you can't really be down. And so you're sending emails that don't get replies. You're making phone calls that don't get called back, except my email that went out to Barbara Coffey, our guest. Barbara was responding and promptly, and we have her in studio the whole hour today. She's the Director of Economic Initiatives at the City of Tucson, and we're about to celebrate your first year anniversary in the city, so welcome to the studio.
It's amazing how the year has flown by. Happy New Year to you. February 25th will be my year, so it's been a busy one. And it's exciting, and like you, it doesn't really stop, especially when we're in a good economy and there's activity. We still have prospects that that reach out to us. I think sometimes they throw us their work so they can go take a break, and then we're busy trying to figure it out for them. But it's all good, because that means good things, new jobs, and all of that for Tucson.
Yes. Well, that's exactly what we want to talk about for the next hour, and that is what's ahead for Tucson in 2020, and a couple of things that I know on that are on our minds in Tucson. I hear it from the callers. Is there's a lot of emphasis, a lot of attention on downtown. We want to get that update today as well. But I hear a lot of people, Barbara, say, "When does it hit my part of town? Mm-hmm. When do I get to see, you know, my community on the east side or maybe North Tucson get to see the same love and attention," right? So we want to talk about that as well. Mayor Romero ran on a platform of wanting to incentivize and support small business, just as we've seen some of the bigger enterprises. We want to talk about that as well. Housing and economic development. You're busy in 2020, and so I'm hoping we get to have a broad-ranging conversation about what's on your plate and what you see for the city. But I'm curious, I guess just to kick us off, you've been in Tucson for almost a year. What are some things that are unique to Tucson that you're seeing? I don't want to say good or bad, but just things that are that really click here that haven't clicked in other places, and then things where you'd like to maybe see it move a little faster.
Right. So there are some amazing, unique characteristics of the city. And I think you and I talked about this early on, is having a real foundation in arts and culture and the history that is this community. That is unique and special, and that does make Tucson stand out as a destination. And so that's no different whether you're a visitor or you're a business looking for a location. But I think the other piece is the proximity to Mexico. I think Tucson, for business, has incredible economic impact that it sees from Mexico. I think we look at about $1 billion, that's with a B, annually on economic impact from visitors from Mexico. The kind of trade activity that can happen and will continue to happen, I think, is unique. You know, even 90 minutes up the road, you don't see that same kind of emphasis, right? And just the bicultural, bilateral community that this is. I think that's unique, and that makes it special for business in other ways as well. Just think about the language capabilities that are here for business. So when we talk about call center or back office operations, having the language skills in the region are really important. So that's a competitive advantage. So I've learned a few things that I think, you know, you bring out that are unique and that do set Tucson apart.
Your last position was in the city of Henderson, Nevada, which is now famous for building the new, it's the Oakland Raiders Stadium. Is it also the Rams, or do they have two different, it's the Oakland Raiders Stadium,
Raiders. Mm-hmm.
Which looks like it's been out of a movie or something. It's a crazy looking stadium. If you were to compare Henderson, for example, to Tucson, your experience, is there anything that is on your mind as something that Tucson might want to look at to do better or to improve on?
I think we just have to be ready to be part of the solution, right? So when companies are looking at locations, and they typically are considering Western region locations, and so Henderson and Las Vegas and Phoenix and Tucson and even the Inland Empire in California, they're all usually in contention, sometimes even southern Utah. So I think we have to be ready and progressive in our approach to attracting business and helping businesses grow. And so that means removing barriers, right? So at the local government level, whatever we can do to be more efficient, to be more accommodating and flexible, without compromising everything, without compromising standards and good outcomes, we just need to be proactive and supportive of business when it comes here.
And I know this was something that Mayor Rothschild, speaking of a 2010s in review, which we did yesterday on the show, when he came into office, this was a huge push of his. And I feel like I can ask you this question because you don't have any kind of baggage or history past a year ago. Did we make some decent progress on what you're saying, or maybe not as much as we could have? Or it sounds like I'm kind of hearing that we still have a lot of room to grow, and there's this debate, is Tucson business friendly or not? Mm-hmm. And is it, could it be better? What's your diagnosis?
I think there's always room for improvement, but I understand from even years prior, Tucson has made great strides in its ability to be business friendly through our planning and development services department, for example. They've made efficiencies. We've gone to digital plan reviews. There's a lot of new emphasis on the one-stop center that you'll find they're building out in the bottom floor of planning and development services building. So all of that will make it easier for development to occur. And so with our economic development team, we're going to be able to connect faster and easier. We're going to bring all the departments to the table. We're going to try to get questions answered early so people can make informed decisions. So I think it's better. And that's an attitude shift, right? It's sometimes not even about the mechanics, but about the attitude and how we treat our customers, which are the business public.
When we come back, we're going to really get into it. I'm excited to hear, and you just submitted a quarterly update as well, and folks can go to your department website and can get on the email newsletter, and you sent out some things that you've seen positive in the last quarter. Also want to talk about 2020. What are some of the things on the horizon that Tucson should be looking for? And then your philosophy of economic development, your vision. City Manager Ortega selected your vision out of a few others' visions. Yours was the one he wanted in this department, and so would like to hear what that's about. And there's so much more we're going to cover. Real 2020 outlook about Tucson economic development with Barbara Coffey, the Director of Economic Initiatives for the City of Tucson. We'll be right back. 10:30 The Voice, trusted local news and talk. Don't go far.
We're the place where Tucson comes to talk. 10:30 The Voice.
Look, we get it. Running a small to mid-sized business is hard work. And making sure you have a team that feels taken care of is just another thing on your plate, but it's so important. Welcome to HR Resolve, a human resource company that is local and can help you tackle payroll, workers' compensation, healthcare, and more. With HR Resolve, you're not just a number in the crowd. You're assisted by a local company that knows what it's like to run a business and can customize a plan for you. Give Shanae and the team at HR Resolve a call at 520-867-8384. Tucson, welcome on back into the beautiful 1030 The Voice studios. I'm your host, Zach Yenser. I'm in studio today for the full hour with Barbara Coffey, the Director of Economic Initiatives. By the way, if you have a question or a thought or just something to put on Barbara's radar, 790-2040 is our special Friday live line, our Why I Love Where I Live live line, supported by our partners at Why I Love Where I Live. So give us a call, 790-2040. So Barbara, at the end of the last segment, we talked about talking about some things that we can expect in 2020. If you want to give us maybe a quarterly review, the last quarter of 2019, and then what are some things that we should expect to see in 2020?
This is going to be a fun time, actually getting started here in 2020. You asked a little bit, though, about what we just sort of saw as we wrapped up the year. And what I will share with you is it all in all, and so even just beyond, let's just take a look at all of 2019, we touched more than 3,100 jobs created in terms of our team assisting businesses and expansions occur in the city. That's exciting. That represents also more than 10,000 jobs retained. Obviously, one of those big ones contributing to that Raytheon's expansion. But nonetheless, important, we saw $687 million in capital investment attracted during the year. When we talk about that, that's projects that have announced, and that's the kind of capital investment coming into the city. So it is quite impressive. And then we get to, and then we have what we call our economic development and workforce grants and the special events grants that support a lot of the activity that the nonprofits engage in. And just last year, over $279,000 granted for those programs. And I'm excited because we're about to roll out a call for applications for that program coming up here in April. So we're getting ready for that. And that'll be my first time around to kind of work with the grantees and see what kind of good programs come together. But what I'm really excited about, and where you had asked me, you know, a few months ago early on, what I saw was an opportunity, is the ability to transform the image of the community as a place for business. And so, like we were talking about business friendly, one of the image enhancers that I am really excited about will launch this month. We're going to soft launch and roll out our new website. So we'll have a new digital presence, which I think everyone is going to be real excited about because it's user friendly. It speaks to the business community and to new businesses looking at our community. It will be very easy to navigate, and it'll be found at connecttucson.com.
Connecttucson.com. Coming, I can't say in 2020. Because we're kind of in 2020.
We're in it. Looking at any day now. I'm hopeful that by the end of next week, you can find it live on the internet.
Are there any, and I know you can't say, so I'm not going to ask you. I know how that goes. Although when you always have big news, you're always welcome on this show. But are there any medium to big size announcements of either business growth, job growth internally, anybody on the radar that's looking at Tucson to relocate? This can just be a yes or no question, maybe, but
it's certainly a yes. I can tell you there are a number of manufacturing entities still looking at our city, anything from food and beverage to more advanced manufacturing. And so that's a good thing. I love it when I see manufacturing looking to expand and relocate, because that signals that the economy is still strong. It signals that we're a place for that to occur. Again, location is everything. Cost of doing business is everything. And so our cost of doing business here is low. But seeing those expansions, the other thing about manufacturing that I love is that it's typically a very long-term sustainable investment in a community. So when a company stands up a manufacturing line, it's $20 to $30 million of equipment. They don't get up and leave that very quickly, right? It's typically a long-term investment, and they tend to expand over time and time again. So that's a good thing.
And this gets to the philosophy question, because one of the things that I've felt about I felt about Tucson. I love Tucson. I'm not a critic at all. But I felt like for so long, we just kind of took what we got. We took what came to us. And anybody that, it felt like anybody that wanted to come across the tracks from Maricopa, we're like, all right, sounds good, great. We'll take you, anything. And it, rather than having a strategic approach of saying, this is what we're good at, this is our comparative advantage, this is what we want to see here. In your role, do you see yourself as crafting that brand image as a department of saying, we're not going to say no to most things or most people, but we're going to say this is what Tucson's about? Or do you just kind of see your role, and this is okay too, of creating a great welcome mat and making it as easy as possible for companies who do want to come here, or a combination of both?
We have to do all of that, right? But we want to be targeted. So to your point, some of the things that will come to the city in the way of job creation will be naturals, and they'll come on their own. Logistics, warehousing, right? Those kinds of operations. But other things that we need to be more strategic about in terms of attracting require a targeted approach. So we're looking at those things, and that's what I call industry attraction targets, where aerospace and defense is still an attraction target. Why? Because we have a strong cluster, we can build on that, and it typically is high tech or advanced manufacturing in nature. We'll look at life sciences and healthcare. Healthcare, we have room to grow there, but the life sciences component around a research institution like our university is critical for growing that cluster, which you've seen happen on the north part of our city. I think the other you'll see us always want to go after are those regional or national headquarters operations, right? When a company chooses your location for those jobs, that's a huge commitment. It's a huge investment in the community, and they're typically the IT jobs, the finance jobs, the corporate headquarters type of activity that you want in your community. So we'll be targeted, and that is the impetus of our business attraction strategy.
It sounds like it's very, and I have seen cities do this around the country, have kind of even doubled down on even just one of those things and literally build around that. It's kind of interesting. We have a couple minutes left for this segment, and so I'm curious to get your philosophy of economic initiatives and economic development. I remember asking all the candidates back when they were candidates this, of how do you grow the economy? And Tucson is so sales tax oriented. You know, I look at some big developments that developed within the city of Tucson, but then everyone is heading back somewhere outside the municipality to live, to eat, to drink. And so those sales tax dollars that are just so purely transactional don't seem to be staying in where most people are after or before work. And so I just wondered how you see all those pieces coming together, and I guess if you had to answer in one or two sentences, how does the pie in Tucson grow? How do we grow the economy? What's your view on that?
It's working in all these areas, enhancing the image, removing barriers, being business friendly, creating local incentives to do that when it's needed, like you said, to push us over the finish line. But again, being available, being a hands-on team to get that done, and I think that's what you're going to see us do going forward.
To that point, what are the two or three bullet points that you're looking to work on as a team? What are some of the things that if you get to December 2020 and you go, we did that, we feel good about it? You know, besides just the wins and the news and right, things like that, what are some of the strategic initiatives?
So small business, you brought up, and you brought up the idea about how do we invest in other corridors that need us. One of the new programs will be a visual improvement program. I like to call it, it's likened to a facade improvement program. But when you talk about businesses and properties that need a little enhancement in their image on the outside, so fresh paint, lighting, landscaping, a new sign, we're going to try to look at areas and commercial corridors that have been in decline that need that attention as well, and likely to roll that out with the new fiscal year starting July 1. So we'll have details for you on that coming soon.
Gotcha. And that's a great segue to what we'll get to after the bottom of the hour news is... And I'll hit on this because a friend reminded me of something I didn't say on the air yesterday is the stereotype in Tucson is that we emphasize downtown ad nauseum, that we seem to be really excited, as I think we should be, about downtown, really focused on that. I hear every day on the air listeners and folks saying, you know, when does that start to transfer to my neck of the woods? And I always like to say that yes, it should. Downtown has been driven by a Rio Nuevo district, and there's an actual boundary to that. But a friend of mine said, look, Zach, I live Craycroft and Broadway, Wilmot and Broadway, pretty east side. Those areas are getting some rejuvenation and a little bit of a good kick in the pants. And so we have to keep pushing. We also have to be fair to the fact that there are boundaries to some curtain structures. But we are seeing this creep more to the east side. So it would be unfair for me to ask you that right now to answer in a minute or less. But we do want to hit on that is how, and this was a campaign platform for so many of the candidates, right, even, is how do we take what we see downtown? How do we bring that momentum, right, to other parts of the community? So I'll ask Barbara Coffey, Economic Initiatives Director of the City of Tucson, about that. And then an interesting discussion as well you were a part of is an innovation hub, an innovation district in Tucson. That seems to change up a lot of economic development theory, the way that you have to do that now in cities. And so I'd love to get your thoughts on that as well. I mean, we've just really started on our broad-ranging conversation, economic development and economic initiatives in Tucson in 2020. Our Why I Love Where I Live live line, 790-2040. Come hang out with us for the next half an hour by giving that number a call. We're going to head to bottom of the hour news. When we come back, my conversation with Barbara Coffey continues. Don't go anywhere, Tucson.
Hi, this is Jason with Keller Williams Realty. I wanted to share another pricing strategy with you today. As a professional realtor, I have access to the most up-to-date sales information for your neighborhood. We can sit down together and we can evaluate your price within about 1 or 2% of its fair market value. Are you thinking of making a move? Give me a call at 520-310-6761.
Tucson, welcome back to the show. You are listening to 1030 The Voice. I'm your host, Zach Yenser. We're talking with Barbara Coffey, the Director of Economic Initiatives for the City of Tucson. And we're taking a wide-ranging look at 2020 ahead, what is on the radar for her team, for Tucson, what are some of the things that are being worked on in the year ahead. And I want to start with this question because I heard it even yesterday, and I often say in a joking way, but I'm completely serious, the only difference between doing this live in this beautiful studio, besides it being beautiful, and some, you know, dark closet in my house, is our live listeners.
Creepy.
And our... All right. Well, you know, I think the stereotype of podcasters, you find a quiet room, you put a lot of foam in, you close the door, and it's like this tiny little space. Mm-hmm. It's the live listening, the opportunity to talk with people real time. And I heard this even yesterday, Barbara, of someone said, I live on the east side. What about me? Mm-hmm. I'm in Durham's ward in Ward 3, kind of North Tucson, not mm-hmm. foothills, but sure. North Tucson. What about me? When do we celebrate downtown, but also figure out how it happens in other parts of the city?
Right.
I hear this almost on a daily basis. And certainly the candidates last year, Ward and Mayoral, heard it as well, came up every interview I had with them. Your office is really integral to answering that question. What's your answer to that, and some of your thoughts on how to take what is happening in the core mm-hmm. and spread it outwards?
Well, part of it is confidence building, right? So as the core strengthens, as the things that have been happening in the downtown begin to really flourish, that radiates outward, right? And that builds confidence among the business community in those outlying corridors and the neighboring and adjacent neighborhoods. So as they see the investments being made, they start to take a look at their own and say, what can I do to enhance my business, to increase the patronage to my establishment? What can I do to put on my best face and start getting a piece of that action, right? So I think there's been this confidence building that's happening, and that's why it's starting to creep outwards into these corridors. And on our part, it's about taking a focused effort, right? So taking a look at some of the things, what can we do in local government and economic development practices to encourage that investment to occur in places that maybe it's not quite happened yet, but it's ripe for. And so that's where a program like a visual improvement program and some of these things, you see transportation making investment with the on 12th Avenue, the Complete Streets program. There are transportation investments that will help build confidence, and that's part of the puzzle. So I think that's what we start to look at.
And what are some of the things that build confidence? And I'm on the, let's say, the local development side, but I'm also curious because there's a ton of truth, but also I think some folklore involved in site selection confidence when people look in, and I'm curious, we know what people outside the city like about Tucson, so we can put that on the side, but what are some of the remaining things that don't create confidence in Tucson that we need to work on? Again, not all on your shoulders,
no,
but as a whole city.
But they are, yeah.
So big, internal and then external confidence.
Big challenges, right? So education is one. So sometimes it's just the perception, but also it can be the actual challenges we face in our educations in terms of where we rank, where we score, and how that looks. When site selectors are considering a community, it is 98% of their work is done online or in some research fashion, yeah, long before they call us. And so if our numbers and our graduation rates and these things are low, then we don't score as well and we don't get that phone call. So what we have to do, and like I mentioned, our future website here, we will begin to try to tell a story that highlights what is happening. Okay, so we're rankings are low, but what are we doing to proactively impact that? So the programs that are occurring, whether it's the activity at JTED or whether it's excelling robotics programs or those kinds of things, where are we showing that we are going to transform that, right? So that's what a business wants to see. Because when they locate, frankly, they're locating not only for their employees and to find good talent that has skills, but they're looking at for their own families. If they're bringing children here, mm-hmm, and they want to put them in school, right? So education is one. I think there are lots of other things that we can do to attract investment to outlying areas. Taking advantage of the airport would be one, and the airport area and the aerospace research corridor around that. I think that is something that will be important as we move forward and enhance that experience of the airport and its capabilities.
We're seeing a lot of news pop up about how the city is looking at transportation, not just at car-based transportation, which is incredibly important. And I think we missed out on some opportunities 30, 40 years ago that would have helped us a little now, but also some of the mass transit options, some of the high-speed transit. When people are either looking at a certain corridor, and I'll ask you about that next, or are outside of Tucson completely and looking in, do you still hear concerns about infrastructure, transportation? Maybe what are some of the things that these folks are seeing in other cities that we don't have yet that we might want to look into developing?
That's just where I was, thinking about the airport and the opportunity, right? Transit to the airport, an extension of our streetcar in that direction, that would be great. I'll let my transportation director, Diana Alarcon, respond,
sure,
to how
we'll have Ron later in the month.
How likely that is, you can ask her. It's a possibility. It's something we need to be thinking about. It drives development, but it also increases our effectiveness and the speed in which we do business and move people around. So I think those are the big opportunities for us, and they are transformative.
What are some corridors? This kind of circles back to what we were talking about in the first part of this segment, is besides the downtown, midtown area, mm-hmm, what are some parts of town that your office is looking at and going, how do we energize this piece?
So we're hard at work in a program we call the Thrive in the 05. That's the Oracle Road and Miracle Mile area, and there's a lot of opportunity there. There's a lot of underutilized property. There's a lot of transitioning property there. The old motor court hotels, say that five times fast, but they're unique places, and there's opportunity to activate these spaces. And so with the investment that Pima Community College is making there, that's going to be a huge catalyst for what is to come. I would say, again, 12th Avenue is an opportunity as we move south. The Millville area has a unique flavor with its warehouse and industrial slash neighborhood mix. I think it's a very unique place. Grant Road is still evolving as a great corridor, and Broadway, of course, the Sunshine Mile is evolving quickly before our eyes. And I think once, again, those transportation investments are in, we're going to get a whole new opportunity there.
You mentioned Grant Road. Maybe this is how we'll end this segment, and then we'll take a future forward look in the last segment, because there are some things on the economic development horizon that are challenging a lot of cities. Hasn't quite hit Tucson yet, but to me that makes me optimistic that we can figure it out maybe a little bit better than other cities. But you mentioned Diana Alarcon, a frequent guest on this show. We love her a lot. When you're in your office and you're hearing, for example, site selectors say you guys are $800 million behind on your road and infrastructure repair, right, that's not your job to fix, but where does the handoff and collaboration, I guess, happen between departments and offices, and how do you manage that? And I don't know if I'm making sense.
Well,
but
no, it's a good question, and we have to be working together. We have to be talking about these as the macro issues that impact a city and its growth. And we have to be willing as directors to let each of our sort of departments go for just a moment when we talk about those things, because we know we all need what comes with that, right? So the transportation investment that's occurring, it may be drawing dollars away from something else, but what are we willing to sacrifice, so to speak, in a way to make that happen? Because then the end result is going to be great for everyone. So I think we just all have to be willing. And I think that's what you have at the City of Tucson. You have a team now who is working together, talking about the issues as a whole, trying to get out of the silos and then really see the bigger picture.
Right. I mean, I have to, if your department does well, if your office does well, the economic pie grows. For it to grow, our transportation needs to be on point. But for our transportation to be on point, your office needs to grow. But for your office to,
Right. It's a cycle, and it's an interdependent. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, that has to be difficult. This is kind of a lead into to something we talk about in the next segment, but even housing, like when you look at how we have developed over the last 40, 50 years, the economic math just works better with a certain degree of density versus, which is different from some of the zoning that we have. But that's not your office's role. So there has to be that alignment, right?
We're
between
at the table.
Housing,
that's right.
Transportation, economic, economic development. Are you encouraged by what you're seeing, especially under City Manager Ortega's? Do you feel like there's a spirit within the city of trying to at least have those silos, broken and have that conversation around the table?
Absolutely. Or? Absolutely, I do. And part of that, I mean, we're together as a team interdepartmentally multiple times a week. And then on, larger efforts, think about Plan Tucson and our comp plan that helps guide the growth of the city. We're all at the table. It's planning and development. It's economic initiatives. It's housing and community development. It's transportation. So we are all there talking about what's going to be important to look at the 20-year future going forward. So I think that's definitely a testament to Mike Ortega's leadership.
For sure. We're with Barbara Coffey for one final segment when we come back, a director of economic initiatives for the city of Tucson. When we come back, we'll wrap up with two, I think, pressing topics that are on cities' minds and city economic development minds. What is the right role of your type of office here and other places to spur on innovation, entrepreneurship, the startup economy? And then how do we do inclusive economic development? We've seen development patterns do a lot of displacement and creating bigger gaps. How do we make sure that the most people possible in Tucson win out of the work we do to build our economy? It's not a zero-sum game, but it takes a lot of intentional philosophizing and then execution to get it right. This is what's on the mind of cities around the country. I'm curious to get Barbara Coffey's thoughts on that when we come back. One final segment. You're on 1030 The Voice. One last invite. Our Why I Love Where I Live live line is up and ready to go. 790-2040. Don't go far. We'll be right back.
Find us on Facebook and Twitter. Search for 1030 The Voice and follow along.
Tucson, welcome back for our last segment here, our wide-ranging conversation with Barbara Coffey, Director of Economic Initiatives for the City of Tucson. 790-2040 is your Why I Love Where I Live live line to give us a call and join the conversation in the few remaining minutes that we have. Barbara, I wanted to ask you one of the questions that hasn't quite hit Tucson yet, but it's well on its way, is how do we develop in a way that can include the most people? An example of this is housing affordability and how that plays into workforce development, economic development. We've seen places like Austin, which have kind of a glitz and glamour to it, but it's become incredibly unaffordable. And so many cities, you either don't do well economically and it's sort of affordable, but you don't really have a career. You have a job that you bounce around to. Like, it doesn't work. Or you have this economic development boom and massive amounts of people left behind. There is a middle way, and economic development professionals are trying to figure out, how do we do that? What's your view of Tucson? How do we grow in the most inclusive way possible?
Well, you started with housing affordability. I think it's important that we have what I call a variety of housing options, right? And so that typically means affordability comes in a variety of ways, but also a number of different flavors and styles, right, for people's lifestyles. So I think we need the variety, and you definitely have a mayor and council that's dedicated to finding affordable housing options. And so I think you'll see us be more proactive in how we drive that. I mentioned the Thrive in the 05 area and what is happening there. And one of the most infamous projects, the Tucson House, is part of that area. And it will see, I think, some renovation here moving forward if we get the direction that we want to go. And then we'll see more affordable housing options around that. So we have to continue to find places in downtown that include affordability. So I think that's important. But inclusivity comes from stakeholder engagement. So when we're looking at those things, we're not doing it in a room by ourselves, right? We're doing it in conversation with, what do people want? And so whether that is a young professional or a single mom or, you know, a working family that's trying to make ends meet, or an empty nester, right? Or, you know, and anything in between, it's having everybody at the table to talk about that and then move forward. And so I think that's where partnering with planning and development and housing and community development, we can figure that out. We can model programs, best practices from other cities. Someone sent me an email yesterday. This is what happens the week after the new year, when everyone's sort of trickling in. We have more time to look at news articles and share them with other people. But there was a program in Newark that was incentivizing people to come and live downtown by, and if they didn't make a certain income level, then they received more of an incentive to pay for that housing option. So that happened to be a nonprofit called the Newark Alliance that, you know, we were reading about. And so we just need to be creative and borrow some good ideas.
What other conversation we got to be a part of in person together was with a young professional group looking at what is the role of some of these different groups to kick off and continue innovation. We know there's about a 2-to-1 job creation rate when you get that high-tech startup innovation entrepreneurship environment going. The non-innovation jobs that come out of that are 2-to-1. It's our, you know, we've had a net 0% growth of new job growth in Tucson. If there's anything that is a magic bullet to that, statistically, it is the tech and innovation space. It's the net new job creator across, yeah, across the country. Before we get to our final caller of the hour, what are some of the things that are on the city's mind of how to spur this on, especially with the innovation district growing in Tucson?
So I agree with you. It is important for us to become a center of innovation, a city friendly to entrepreneurs, and to feed that. And I think we're on the right path with the 10 West Festival, with the number of co-working and collaborative facilities, with companies like Illum. I just met with recently, where they brought their offices into downtown, into the Pioneer Building, and they continue to hire people. And they are the knowledge workers, right? And so they are going to grow and spin off jobs. I think we need to continue to be attractive to that, because people want to be around other people like them that inspire them and that they can collaborate with. So I think we're on the right path, and you'll see us focusing efforts on that, but continuing to support the groups who are convening those folks as well.
Let's go to our phone lines here with Barbara Coffee in studio. Gloria called in our Why I Love Where I Live live line, 790-2040, for a question or comment. Gloria, you're live. Thanks for calling in.
Thank you, Zach. Your program is so important to the future of Tucson. I really hope people are paying attention to what you are doing, and I thank you for that. My question for Ms. Coffee is, how do the department directors of the city communicate with each other as a group? Does Mr. Ortega have a monthly meeting, say, of all of the department directors?
That's awesome. I'm glad that I can share a little insight into how we do business. Yes, Gloria, we meet actually every 2 weeks as a director's team. We call it our executive leadership team. And so Mr. Ortega, along with our assistant city managers and our entire leadership team, all the directors of the different departments will gather, and we share updates and good of the order, and we work on activities collectively that address questions that Zach has answered, like budget issues and major projects, and how we align ourselves in the direction that we need to go.
Wonderful. Gloria, I appreciate that call. Thank you so much. This is the weird part of the hour where I almost don't want to get into anything super new because we might get cut off. But I do want to make sure that anyone listening knows how to get a hold of you or your office to provide comments, ask questions, anything that we couldn't cover. What's the best line of communication to stay in tune with what you're doing as a department in 2020?
Well, I definitely think I'm going to ask you to seek out our new website when it goes live, and that'll be connecttucson.com. Until then, we're at tucsonaz.gov, and you can find us under the Economic Initiatives Department. And our team is just fantastic, and we're excited to help and support. So if any business has a question, or anyone looking to expand or relocate has a question, then we're standing ready to assist. And you'll see more of us. We want to stay visible in the community. And so if you don't see us that way, you should see us at some networking event. Zach, I know I see you a few times a year, or a month, I should say, at the various things, because there are opportunities to connect, and it's very meaningful. Yes.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much, Barbara, for your time. And especially, many people don't get started back into things until the 6th. So I realize that. I thank you for being here in studio and answering our questions. Looking forward to just the month ahead. You mentioned we have you work closely with Diana Alarcon. We have the Tucson Department of Transportation director on this show every other month, and she's set to come back in on January 17th. So it'll be 2 weeks from today. The new CEO and president of the Tucson Symphony Orchestra is also scheduled to come in. Dan Arnold from Barrio Brewery is coming in next week. It's the first employee-owned brewery in the country. Tucson has the first brewery to basically turn over ownership to the employees. It's a really cool new model, and happened in Tucson first. Dr. Trujillo, back to education on this month, end of the month, January 21st. So it's cool that you mentioned some of these players. We really do try on this program to figure out how all the pieces connect, because it doesn't happen in silos. And it has in the past. It hasn't worked in the past. Everything is connected. We try to figure out how that works. So Tucson also, I have at least three big announcements coming up in the next couple weeks for this show this year. Some brand new segments, some brand new sponsors, and a big announcement about the show. So I'd love for you to stay tuned. You can email me, thecreativecityshow@gmail.com. Find me on Facebook. There are many ways to engage outside of this program. I'd love to do that with you. Don't go away. Don't leave 10:30. The Voice, Bill Buckmaster, coming up at noon. You guys, 10 years in Tucson. It's the show's anniversary today. Bill Buckmaster, 10 years here on 10:30 The Voice, the Bill Buckmaster Show. Great local live talk the rest of the day heading into the weekend. We'll see you 9 a.m. on Monday. Tucson, enjoy. Welcome into the new year. One last time, Barbara Coffey, thank you so much.
Happy New Year.
We'll see you soon. Tucson, take care.
KVOI Cortero, AM 1030, the voice of Tucson. Trusted local news and talk. A Bustos Media Station.